Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm all about the DMs. It goes down in the DMs. I mean, you got me. Like, I'm prime example.
I've been trying to get you on email for a while, by the way. And I got you through DM.
I know. And then the second you... And, like, I know. Like, I see the email. I'm just like, oh, I'll get to it. Like, you know what I mean? But DM, I'm like, oh, I immediately respond.
This is the thing with emails. This is my theory. There's so many fucking email, like, subscribe things. What do you call this?
It almost felt like, even though it wasn't now knowing you, but it almost feels like...
factory made, like, bye. Like, yes, no thought into
very,
it.
Like,
impersonal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, like, almost like, oh, it's just like another bot, or like, oh, it's like, I don't put a face to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I mean with Instagram. Like, a lot of people are like, all these LA
it's
girls,
they're to say no via email.
100%.
But, like, for DM, I know that if I read it, like, it's going to be seen. And, like, also, it's like, oh, I see your face. Like,
it's
oh, you're dope.
Social like, media. It's like you meet someone.
Literally, like, I immediately, like, went to your profile and I was like, oh, she's dope. Like, hell yeah, I'll be on your podcast. Or, like, oh, actually, when I even said, I think you were like, oh, you want to be on my podcast? And I was like, oh, no, let's do a swap.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Hey guys, welcome back to TK's Juicy Pod. I'm here today with Deanna Espier.
Thank you for saying my name the right way.
After practicing it like 80 million times. Does everyone kind of butcher it?
Well, of course, because it's spelled Diana. So everyone butchers it, except for when I'm in Miami and people are like, Deanna. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually the right way to say it.
Wait, where are you from?
I'm English and Swiss, so I have a fucked up accent. It confuses everyone.
No, I love it.
Everyone's like, are you Australian? Are you? First of all, if you don't know, don't guess. I love what you did. Where are you from? Instead of being like, are you Australian? Are you this?
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it's like people try to guess and they get it wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, no.
So you just like when people ask?
I don't care, but I just think it's so funny when people try to be so smart and be like, are you Australian? And
no, then I'm like, I would never be able to guess. That's why I have to ask.
You're very polite about it. I really appreciate it. I would be the arsehole who's like, you're Australian and you sound really weird.
No. So where are you from originally? Okay, so we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which like nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's like all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and like you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is like crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor, and like the main reason why I use it, is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that like basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to everyone of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah.
So I grew up in Switzerland, but I come
Shut
from
up.
Yeah. Have you been?
Gosh. No, but I've been wanting to go recently.
Really? Mm-hmm. So Switzerland, the mountains, the Alps, like very, very quiet and very boring. But my dad's English. I come from an English family. And then I did all my like studies in England. Uh-huh. And I was always in like an English background, you know, family. So kind of mixed, kind of weird, kind of all over the place. Everything about me is kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why not start a fucking podcast? Can I say fuck on this one?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
So did you move? When did you move to America?
I moved to America. I was always kind of back and forth since 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? You're a very good interviewer.
We're literally 30 seconds in, Deanna.
It's like very rapid fire vibes. I'm like, shit, if I were a production company, I would give this girl a job. So I actually moved here because I was a songwriter and a musician.
Whoa.
That's kind of how I have my whole background in like audio. Yeah,
we audio. Were just talking
audio. And so, you know, I was I had kind of a short career in like dance and performing and songwriting and singing. And
I can see you being a dancer, like a good dancer.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of suck, but that's fine. I'm only good when I'm choreographed. If I'm okay. not choreographed, I get super insecure and it's a very, very awkward experience. It's a downhill spiral. Don't ever get me drunk and take me to a club.
I love.
And so, yeah. And then I ended up, you know, because I knew so much about being an artist and, mm-hmm. you know, the entertainment industry, I ended up, long story cut short, finding work as an entertainment reporter. And then that led me to being this like weird kind of podcaster, creator, producer, audio person.
Wearing who doesn't a lot know, of hats.
Exactly. Doesn't know where her accent's from, doesn't know what her job description is, but somehow I'm here and somehow I'm just doing it.
So
it's weird.
How did you transition from dabbling back and forth to moving here full time?
So basically I was actually, it's such a fucking confusing story because I actually moved here on like a short term contract. So it was like a 4 month thing.
What do you mean? What, like for what?
For like songwriting and okay. to work in the studio with a bunch of producers. I was being produced, you know, with a production company here to like potentially get signed and things.
Wow.
And because I was kind of independent. I wasn't like signed to a major label basically yeah. at the time, but I was signed to like an independent label. So besides the point, I always get lost in all my thoughts.
It's
I haven't
okay.
done this in a while.
I haven't
done this
in a while. On a nice tangent.
lovely. Love so many tangents. And so what happened was when I moved here, you know, for this short-term contract, I reconnected with my high school sweetheart who had moved to LA. And so we ended up being in
Wait,
like...
Wait, so was he from Switzerland?
So he's American, but he grew up in Switzerland and we went to the same school.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, such a fucked up story. We're not together today. The boyfriend that I was telling you about is not this guy.
Okay.
Completely.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. So much drama.
I live for
and
the
I'm,
juice.
Yeah, but and I'm like literally the least so undramatic that I had to start a podcast to make me come across more dramatic. And then somehow I'm telling the story and I sound like a drama queen. So kind of moved back to LA.
So you moved back here for the boy.
Kind of. So I was also transitioning in my career. I've spoken about this on a bunch of podcasts, but I really lost myself as a songwriter, as a musician, as like an artist and a creator when I was mm-hmm. in the music industry because it's such a fucked up industry and you don't actually realize how fucked up it is.
Why?
at the time, it was before you could really have control over your content. You know, now you can like put out a song and it's on Spotify and you could do it independently.
Yeah, you can post on Instagram, you're good.
You can do anything. Before it was, there was so many politics behind, you know, the songwriting, the production aspect, the PR, the marketing, all those things.
So it's lack of control.
And so I did stuff that didn't really reflect who I was. And I was taking so many people's advice, so many cooks in the kitchen. I felt like I just didn't have a voice at all. And isn't that the whole point of like being a songwriter and an artist?
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Like, this is not the right industry for me to, you know, have a voice, because I wasn't even being listened to by my team at the time.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was their fault or my fault. I think, you know, it was like a lack of experience on my part, but also, to be honest, I don't even know. This is like, I haven't thought about this in so long. I don't even know how to explain the story, but I was like, you know what? I want to do something from A to Z that I'm proud of and I have control of. And that was not it at the time. And I didn't even know what Instagram was. I didn't even know how to use Instagram at the time. And
well, how long ago was this?
It was in 2015. So people were starting to like...
People were dabbling.
Yeah, dabbling. There were people getting like famous on Instagram and things like that. But like, I think at the time, like the biggest stars had like, I don't know, like 200,000 followers or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't really know how to go about it. You know, people didn't know how to make money off of being an artist anymore. Yeah. And it was just such a weird thing. And so, you know, I quit the music industry. And I know a lot of people say never quit, like la la la. But like, it's also important to know when to like change direction when you see that something's not making you happy. Something's like not fulfilling.
Yeah, you finish that season, you're on to the next.
100%. And so I was like, what am I good at? And I was like, I know what it's like to be an artist. I'm so good at commenting on, you know, music, entertainment, TV, because I know what it takes to actually be like the person
you
creating.
Understand the hustle and the grind
100%.
To get there.
Mm-hmm. So I started writing for like an entertainment news website. They send me to the Teen Choice Awards, which is where I interviewed Alicia, I think, the first time.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't know who she was. I knew who no one was.
Which is so crazy.
So funny. And so I went there not knowing what the fuck was going on. But then
what
I was...
What was the company that you worked for, if you
Celeb
don't mind?
Celeb Secrets.
Okay. So you guys would report on celebs and digital creators and stuff like that?
100%. And it was like a younger outlet. So it was a lot of these YouTube people and stuff that I knew nothing about at the time. Literally, I was like, who are these people? Why are they famous and stuff? And then I started like actually getting to like watch their videos and know who they are. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a whole world out there of people that I didn't know existed when I was like stuck in a studio writing songs.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to pause you really quick.
Yeah.
Back then, did you ever like... If someone would have told you how big digital creators are now, would you ever like believed them back then?
Yes and no, because people were starting to get big when I was doing music, but I feel, and correct me if I'm right, I don't know, but I feel like at the time people were only getting famous for like lifestyle. There wasn't all these little different niches that people used to their advantage with digital media.
Or maybe it was only really lifestyle people were the ones that were making a lot of content for people to see, you know?
And making money because they were getting all these like brands to like sponsor them. I think that back in the day, if you became a sensation for being a singer, you wouldn't like exactly know how to monetize online. Yeah. Now there's so many different ways and like people take full advantage of those platforms. But I feel like at the time, the people who were getting like the biggest and the money and all that were all the lifestyle people.
So do you think that it's going to continue to grow in the digital space, or do you think it's like peaking right now? What do you think?
I have so many thoughts because there's obviously so many different niches now. I do think that because a lot of people are doing it, there's a lot of trash out there.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a lot of like just sucky content. And I hate to say it because I don't want to hate on people. I'm sure people think my content is sucky content, but do you know what I mean? Like, I just think there's a lot of just meaningless content. And you know, it's only been around for a couple of years. So I think that, when people say it's saturated, probably not. There's always room for like more concepts and different ideas. But at the same time, because it's accessible to everyone, it gives room for a lot of just trash. That's what I truly believe, if I'm honest.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so continue. So you went to the Teen Choice Awards. You started interviewing some digital creators. And then what happened?
And I knew nothing about hosting. Like, I had never gone to journalism school. I didn't know how to ask questions. But you know what? I was like, all these people are being so official. They're like, who are you wearing today? You look amazing. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to have a conversation with these people. Like, I just thought I was going to be
you're my friend.
Yeah, you're my friend. And I came out of there and I was like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, which is such a plot twist, because now to get me onto a red carpet, I like literally will be like, no, because I feel like this, not me has changed, but the industry has changed so much.
Really?
So much. Okay, which is like,
how so?
It's so weird because I went from like music to doing this journalism thing. And when I left the Teen Choice Awards, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But the industry is changing so much that I'm like, fuck, like, where does that leave me? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what, how has it, what's like the biggest change?
So there was a time, like when I started hosting, I was like hosting for all these digital platforms and people were like going on YouTube and researching, I don't know, Alicia Marie interview, for example. Yeah. Oh, do you talk about this or not really on your podcast?
No, yeah, I do all the time.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Hi, Alicia. She's probably listening.
Hey, girl.
I always talk about her.
I love interviewing you. You were so nice. You're one of the only YouTubers I like to interview.
She's the GOAT. I call her the GOAT. Do you know what the GOAT means?
No.
The greatest of all time.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. But she is. But she really, like, literally, me and my friend Electra, who's interviewed her as well, were always like, she is so fucking nice.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. So people would type, like, well, actually, people wouldn't type Alicia Marie interview because they would just go on her YouTube channel. But they would, do you know what I mean? They would type all these other celebrities that weren't on YouTube and be like, I don't know, this name interview. And then your interview could go viral. And that's how all these outlets, you know, made their money.
Okay.
And then they had brand partnerships and stuff, like stuff that we were wearing and things.
So was your stuff published all on YouTube?
It was mostly YouTube, actually, and like website clicks. So like,
okay,
we would do interviews, like written interviews and stuff like that. So yeah, and Facebook, like,
gotcha.
So many different platforms, but it was all digital. Yeah. And so there was a time where that was like a thing, and then people would go on YouTube to get like the news of the day. So we would like host and do the morning news of like celeb news and things like that, and people would have their like quick fix of what was going on in pop culture.
Yeah. So it's like a mini digital e-news.
Literally.
Okay.
Like, all, like there was Clever, there was Hollywood at the time where I was working. Oh, I shouldn't even be saying any of those names. So you know what? At this point, who cares? And so I feel like that was really a thing. And now I feel like people don't really look at these things anymore because we have IGTV, we have Instagram Live, we have stories, which like were just becoming a thing at the time. Mm-hmm. So like celebrities will go on their stories and be like, oh, E! News posted this about me, but that's wrong. And like they have complete control and they have this like direct way of talking to their audience, which isn't like a tweet that's going to be screenshotted by thousands of people, or a photo. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's so many different ways that you can just have a candid conversation with your audience when you're a celebrity.
Yeah,
you don't need these digital and outlets
like
anymore.
It is almost like the digital outlets, or these things that you're describing, used to be the only way that like the average human being from Alabama or North Dakota or Indiana could find out about that celebrity, and now they can just like open up their Instagram app and like talk to them via Insta story, and like people aren't interested in the other platforms because they can just watch their Insta story and know what's going on.
100%. And if I'm honest, I think that podcasting and Insta stories change the game when it comes to like, you know, entertainment news, because you know, but before you could post an Instagram photo with a caption or a tweet, but that thing got overanalyzed by everyone and overread by anyone. So all the celebrities had teams of people who would like help them post and like curate all that stuff. But now you have all these like direct, you know, quick ways of just.
It's like the product, like products now are direct to consumer. It's like straight to your door.
100%.
And it's same with like content. It's like straight to the consumer, straight to the follower.
100%. That's why all the boutiques are shutting down, because straight to consumer everywhere. And so there's no room for the middleman anymore unless you're a podcast, but that's a different thing because it's a 1 hour in-depth, like you can see a real candid conversation, like the real reaction, you know, towards certain questions that are being asked, totally. Which is a different medium. So,
and it's not staged like, and tonight you're gonna hear about Justin Bieber, you know what I mean? It's very just like,
well, there's no specific format, whereas with the red carpet interview, it's like, oh my gosh, you look amazing, what are you wearing, oh my gosh, how excited are you. Sorry, I'm doing the American thing because I think that Americans are so fake on the red carpet.
Do you think that in other countries they're not fake on red carpets?
I mean, I think the red carpet is very specific to America. It's like it's a very LA thing, like every week there's like a red carpet for this charity. It's not always like the Golden Globes or whatever, you know, there's a red carpet whenever there's just an event.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I just felt like it was such a fake thing at the time. I like kind of saw that I was getting so bored of doing it that I kind of almost predicted that shift. Like, not trying to say that I'm a genius or anything, but I could see that there would be a shift somehow.
Not trying to say I'm perfect, but like,
I'm not trying to sound like a genius, but like, I kind of am, but I'm actually not. But
no, I love it.
I got so bored that I was like, shit, like, I'm so bored of being like, you look amazing. How excited are you to be here?
About the foo-foo small talk.
It bugged me. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I was like, this is so fun.
Interesting, especially coming from like a host.
Yeah, no, it just bugged me. And all the hosts are probably bored too, but they'll never admit it because they just feel so lucky to have the job. I was like, fuck no. I mean, I was like, I'm lucky to have the job, but I need more from the job. So I started the podcast and I started like actually asking kind of terrible questions, to be honest. But I was like, these are the stuff that people
more
want
in depth.
Know.
Yeah,
exactly. And now everyone has a podcast, which is a thing that we'll talk about later. But I could already see that people were just getting bored of these YouTube interviews. And so, yeah, I can see a shift. And even with like TV, even on your poll, no one watches TV anymore.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so many things to say about the shift, but there is a huge shift, 100%.
Wow. I think it's really cool that you were there like pre full blasted digital and then now seeing it, because I feel like I grew up with digital.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting hearing your perspective, because to me it's like not that different. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
since I grew up with it.
And you know what's crazier about like my evolution of like TV to digital is that I'm from Switzerland, where like we don't have like all the advertising, all the American TV shows. So I grew up with like the shittiest TV channel, like the shittiest TV ever.
Yeah.
And then transitioning from that to like moving to America and seeing like these like huge scale like TV everything, and then it becoming digital, like I've witnessed it all basically. Yeah. I'm such an old lady.
No, you are not.
But you know what I mean though? And like, I just, it's crazy.
So what do you think makes someone a good one host in general, and then also a good specifically like red carpet, pop culture, e-news type of host?
Well, because there's such a shift, I think a good host, like the definition of a good host has changed. Like back in the day would have probably been like the smiliest, the friendliest, like that looks good on camera, that has a good sense of style, that can like look cute but not, you know, outshine the celebrity. And like now, so when I started hosting, I kind of made a little name for myself in that part of the industry, the digital YouTube part of the industry, because I was a little bit more unfiltered and like I would make mistakes and I would like say the wrong thing. But
so
like,
what would be an example?
This is like, I have to like dig deep in the archives. But I don't know. Like I would just use props that people were using on the red carpet to ask questions, or I would just ask like kind of the more controversial, like I remember I did the premiere of this movie Dirty 30, which was like with YouTube creators, and I asked, and I did a Never Have I Ever hooked up with a random stranger. But this was like a younger YouTube channel, and it was kind of a risque question, but like these interviews that I did for this Dirty like kind of went viral for that channel, did really well for that channel that I was working for, because the questions were just a little bit more like controversial.
Raunchy,
a bit more juicy. And I was like, and then people would always like kind of like, you know, frown at me and be like, what, this girl doesn't know what she's doing. Like, why is she talking about herself in some of the interviews? Like, people always were looking at me like I was really weird. But then I noticed that the people that I was talking to on the red carpet were kind of like warming up to me and like more willing to share about themselves, because I was like sharing stuff about myself too.
Yeah.
Which is like frowned upon on the red carpet, but it just made me a better host.
So would your boss or like with the network or who would like get mad at you? Or did anyone ever?
Well, so what happened was the one of the bigger outlets that I was working for got reacquired by someone else, like mid me doing all that stuff. So when they hired me, they were kind of open to like the new way that I was kind of going for, because they wanted like a refresh of the channel anyway. So it kind of came at the perfect time. I would say that, you know, when I started, you know, doing podcasting and trying to be more raunchy and stuff, the bigger outlet that I was working for was kind of just like, no, try to tame it, try to keep it clean.
Okay, kind of reel it in.
Yeah, keep it clean. And then, but realize that the numbers were still kind of dropping because the content was too clean and not just
interesting
real enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So would you say it used to be inauthentic? Like interviews?
Honestly, the outlets that I've worked for are all great outlets and mm-hmm. have become big outlets for a reason because the people who created them were amazing. But yeah, I think some of the interviews were inauthentic and I think some of the hosts were inauthentic and I think that worked for a while. But I think as digital content got bigger and people got, you know, more real and more candid, you know, with vlogging and things, yeah, that wasn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that part of hosting is being inauthentic. You know, when you look at the traditional hosts on KTLA, you know, they look great, they smile, they're great, they never share any struggle. Like, yeah, it is inauthentic, but it is also the proper way and the traditional way of hosting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So circling back, what do you think are qualities that make a great host in today's world?
On a podcast or on a red carpet?
Let's do both.
On a podcast, I think is being able to get new information from someone who has probably done 30 interviews before you. And that's very hard because, you know, anyone that is worthy of going on a podcast has probably done 30 other podcasts. And I think it's also connecting.
Great thing to think about prior to recording with someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You always have to think this person's done that.
Yeah.
And this is something I learned from the red carpet. You're in a line and that person has spoken to 30 people before you.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you want him to sound like a robot answering the same questions?
A broken record.
Literally. Yeah. Or do you want them to like actually engage in the conversation? So that I would say, and also connecting with them on like a deeper level so that you can bring out a side of their personality that you haven't seen somewhere else before.
Yeah.
Because our reactions change depending on who we're around, kind of thing. You know, we feed off of people's energy. So if you can get something out of this person that people haven't seen or heard before, then you've like got a successful interview.
So how do you do that?
Personally, my trick that I give to people is that whenever you are willing to be vulnerable and share something about yourself,
yeah,
and I wouldn't just share like the random like surface thing. I would share something like either deep or funny or embarrassing or something that can really touch someone.
Yeah. Hit home.
Yeah. Hit home. Someone will be more willing to share something with you. So that's on podcast. On red carpet, kind of the same thing, but you know, make it more concise, make it quicker, do your research really well, make sure that, you know, you don't leave any blank spaces, silent moments and all that stuff. And then obviously have a cute outfit because that helps.
Who are your all-time favorite hosts and interviewers?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't have anyone you like look up to or you love their interviews or you think they do a really good job?
When I started hosting, like I never thought I want to be a host. So I wasn't someone like I'm aspiring to be a host. I'm going to research all these hosts and like do what they did. And also I grew up in Switzerland. So I wasn't watching all these like TV shows that you guys were like, whatever. But what I will say is when I read about Howard Stern and saw his movie and stuff, I was like, shit. Oh, yeah. I was like, I would never be able to be that way. But
he's amazing.
The best.
Yeah.
And you know,
the GOAT.
He is
the GOAT.
But that's what I mean. And so, you know, he was able to just get that one little piece of information that you can't find anywhere else because he was just so bold with his interviews.
Yeah. What about podcast hosts? Who do you love to listen to because of their, you know, interviews and the way they ask questions and get things out of people?
I kind of go on and off podcasts, which is really weird. Like I'm never like, I'm such an asshole. Like I'm not really loyal to just one podcast.
Okay.
So this is why you're single. Have you heard this podcast?
No.
It's so good. I started listening to it because it's so impossible to date in LA. Every week they highlight a reason why you're single or a reason why your relationship's not working.
So
whatever.
Interesting.
It's so good.
Do they live in LA?
No, I think they're in New York.
Okay.
They're New Yorkers. And New York is like even harder to date than LA. So they're like literally the perfect. So who else is a host? I don't really listen to that podcast, if I'm honest with you. Skinny Confidential always. And so I listened to her. She actually like, when I met her the first time, she gave me so many tips on like.
Incredible.
Yeah, the best.
I am dying to meet her.
Really? Have you not met her yet?
No, I'm dying to interview her too.
Oh, are you having her soon?
No, I need to get in contact with her.
Now. She would die for your thing. She would like sign you right away. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm literally obsessed with her.
Are you joking?
I listen to every podcast of hers.
So I love her podcast.
And I lived for her baby announcement, can I just say? Baby Bostic 2020.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm like a huge fan. Yeah. So I'm like weird like that. Like when I saw your stuff, like I'm a sucker for like someone who's just really good at like branding themselves.
So brandable.
Yeah. So, yeah. And when I saw like the Juicy Poles and the Juicy Pod, I was like, fuck, I love this girl. But so I fangirl that way. Like I've interviewed every celebrity
like
you can think of.
It's a respect thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like I've interviewed every celebrity you can think of. I don't fangirl that way. Yeah. Like I don't get the like, oh my gosh, I'm like starstruck. But like if I appreciate someone's work, I'm like fangirl.
Yeah.
So I was, yeah. So I was like that with you. I was like, this girl knows what the fuck she's doing. And I was like that with Lauren when I met her. And
oh my God, I'm literally obsessed with her.
Yeah. So actually when like the first day I met her, she gave me all the tips that I'm now using to like work, promote my business and do my business. All in the first time I met her, she's like, you need to be doing this that way.
She provides so much value.
All the time. And so a lot of the stuff that I do today is because when I met her, she was like telling me all these things and I just met her. She didn't need to do that. A lot of people ask to be paid money to do that. She's like, you need to do it this way. So I listened to her, but not always. Like,
see, I religiously listen to her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, I'm really funny about all the food stuff.
Oh, do you listen to like food podcasts?
No, I don't
I don't either.
Exactly. So whenever they have like someone nutrition, intermittent fasting, I don't listen.
See, I listen to that, but like it's just because I'm obsessed with Lauren and Michael.
Yeah.
And I like, regardless, I mean, I'm kind of into like nutrition and stuff, but.
No, so I am obsessed with them too, but.
They could literally interview a piece of dirt and I'd listen.
That's why you know they're doing something right.
Yeah.
That's great. No, they curate their guests really well. They know what they're doing, et cetera. But I just grew up in Switzerland where like nobody was ever on a diet and like I never overthought my food and stuff. So it's very important to me to just keep it that way.
Gotcha.
And I just try not to overthink it, especially being in LA where it's so like,
oh my God, 24/7.
Diet centric. Yeah. And I'm trying to like not be that person. So
see, I feel like I'm like Lauren in the sense that she's always on top of the trends. Like she's like, oh my God, celery juice, like blah, blah, blah. Like I'm like that too. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get on it. Like I need to be fit. I need to be snatched. I need to be like,
no,
whatever. And like, I respect that you're like so chill about it.
But this is just for my mental health.
Yeah.
It's for my mental health.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. It's exhausting. And like the thing is I've been able to maintain like a healthy fitness, like level of fitness, eating what I want and doing my own thing. Like I don't want to overthink that. But
girl, you look so good.
Thank. But I used to be a dancer, so it's kind of the leftovers.
No, you look incredible.
And if you saw me not in leggings, you would understand how like I should probably be more careful with my food.
Oh my gosh, stop!
No, because I have cellulite. Like I'm small, but stop. I have cellulite. No, but it's true. Like let's
everyone
not lie.
Has cellulite.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like when people see me, they probably think I don't have, but I have a lot.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah, like fuck it. I don't give a fuck. That's why I don't like post bikini photos because it's, I don't want to Facetune.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I hate Facetune.
Yeah. So it's either you're going to see the cellulite or I'm going to Facetune. I don't want to Facetune. So I just don't show it.
Yeah. No, I respect it. I respect it.
I feel like we've gone on so many different tangents.
No, it's okay. So the Skinny Confidential is one of your favorites. Who else?
Yeah, the Skinny Confidential. Eleni just started her podcast. It's called Behind the Rainbow.
Oh my God, I need to do a pod swap with her.
Yeah, 100%. And
how
she would,
crazy would that be too? Because I interned for her, like full circle.
Like full circle moment. You guys have to do a podcast together.
That's wild.
She's doing the whole, like, remember how she was this whole rainbow person? Yeah. Like fake. She's like, fuck that, Behind the Rainbow. I'm going to keep it real on the podcast.
Shut up.
Amazing. Yeah. She's having all these like.
Oh my God, I live for that.
Yeah.
I remember when her and I shot this like one photo for her and she did, you know, those Take Five like Hershey's bars. It's like these protein bars.
That was with you.
Yeah. I took photos of
That's
her.
That's crazy. And also, I've seen all of her campaigns.
And with, I think it was Teva was the other brand. We did a bunch of stuff together. It was so fun.
It's crazy. She's the best.
She is the best.
She has a great podcast.
I haven't seen her literally since I worked for her. So I need to see her again.
You have to see her
we
again.
Should
she
all
would
go
love
out or something.
100%. Yeah. She would love to. She was like so excited that we were, I've always listened to the Betches podcast.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like pop culture.
Betches, yeah.
I listen to Side Hustle School by Chris Guillebeau, which you have to listen to this.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
So good.
Okay, I'm going to write it down.
It's like short little episodes about people who successfully had created like income based on like a hobby that they had and had like
oh
a little
God,
side
love
hustle.
It.
Which
I
is
love
like
that
you're on your podcast. Hello, like side hustle gonna become your main hustle.
Side hustle season.
Yeah, but that's me too with my podcast, Side Hustle. But like it needs to become a main hustle.
Just wait.
Oh, I've been waiting 2020, 2 years.
Baby.
I hope so, baby. But anyway, so, and yeah, just a bunch. I'm not very loyal. Like, I go on and off with podcasts. Okay, but
whatever you're feeling that day.
Exactly.
So who are, speaking of like hosts who you think are cool and stuff, who are some of your favorite influencers to follow?
Lauren, and then, Skin Confidential. Do you mind if I look?
No,
sorry,
no,
I'm
look.
So bad. Like, I'm really bad at following and listening to,
like,
other people.
Whose stories do you, like, always watch?
Skinny Confidential.
Yeah. Same.
I love taking your polls. Like, they're really addicting.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Addictive. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Do you watch reality TV, Bravo TV? Do you watch Summer House?
No, I don't.
So I've interviewed like every cast member of Summer House, and Paige DeSorbo, she's like a new Summer House cast member. She does these like looks for less. So she finds all these like super high end celebrity looks.
Oh my gosh, I need to follow her.
Oh my gosh. And she makes all these like.
Will you send me her profile?
Yeah. So like she'll do this and she'll find like the cheaper version. And everything that she posts is super affordable.
I love. Will you send me her profile?
Yeah, yeah. I'll send it to you now. I love a look for less because I'm older now. I'm 30. I'm investing more in like my skincare.
Yeah.
So now I have like less money to invest in like high end outfits. I mean, yeah. I'll invest in a bag or something. But when it's like jeans and a top, look for less.
Exactly. Who are there any kind of underrated influencers? Like, who do you think is an underrated influencer and needs more attention?
These are so like specific, and I'm dying for these questions because I've like literally I always know what to say and I don't even know what to say. This is how you know you're a good interviewer. Like, I'm crying.
Lately I've been saying crying like C-R-I-N-E, like I'm crying.
Yeah, same.
And I think it's so funny.
It's so funny, but I feel so annoying and so LA, but like, what do you expect?
I'm crying.
crying. And I'm saying it and I'm not even American.
I love it.
What is wrong with me? Okay, influencers that I'm following
are like underrated. Like, you're like, why do they not have 200k, you know what I mean? Or why do they not have a million?
Let me go over my feed because I have some of them. Just a Uniform.
Okay, who is this?
So she's like a UK influencer, but her content is so fucking good, and I've interviewed her on my podcast before, and she only has like about 15k, but if you look at her stuff, she looks like she has 2 million.
Shut up.
But it's like very specific. It's not just like an everyday look that you can just...
What's her Instagram?
Just a Uniform.
Her.
Do you see? Look at the photos.
Oh, wow.
Like,
oh, wow. She's
are you
really
fucking
cool.
Joking? Yeah, she's so cool.
Look, like literally in my suggested, it says Lauren, like the Skinny Confidential.
Her stories are the best. Her posts are the best.
Because like I always watch her.
Same. I always watch her. She's really entertaining to watch. I'm really sorry. Like... You know, a lot of like the
stuff. We live for you, Lauren.
We live for you, Lauren. And also, I use a lot of like the business model that she used to like do the stuff that I'm doing to like promote my business, because she successfully promotes her business and knows how to maximize on like what social media platform to use and stuff. So I always like really look at her and look at how she's doing things because I think that she's doing it right.
And you know what I love about her is how realistic she is with things. She's not like, oh my God, I wake up at 3 a.m. and then I start my day and I blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and I'm perfect and blah, blah, blah. Like, she keeps it real. I feel like she's like, no, I sometimes can't get a workout in, so I walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes on my phone while I'm doing emails. Like, 100%. I feel like that's realistic. And she's like, I time batch and I take Ubers because I feel like that's spending my time and my money wisely. And like, I don't know. I just like how, like, even though she likes nice things and has like a bougie side and whatever, and she's like sassy and juicy and cheeky, she also keeps it real. And she's like, all right, if you're a hustler, like, this is how you should do it.
100%. And what I like about her is that, you know, saying I take Uber and I do treadmill and stuff, like, obviously not everyone has the means to do it, and she knows that she's not for everyone, but she's also like, I'm not just doing it because I want to be bougie, I'm doing it because I'm trying to like work my ass off.
Yeah.
So I like that about her, because I have a lot of things about me that some people are like, you know, I like to invest a lot in like my skincare and like accessories, and a lot of my friends are like, why would you spend money on that? And like, I'm just like, this is what I like to spend my money on, but then I will, you know, cut my other costs and on other things.
Exactly.
And you have to just be strategic about it. And I feel like she's the perfect person where she's like, this is how I'm being strategic about my time and my expenses is what I invest in. Take it or leave it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And I love how she's so true to herself and her brand.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she thoroughly lives her brand.
She lives, breathes, bleeds her brand.
I feel like her brand is just actually just like the perfect reflection of her. I mean, I literally don't know her, but I feel like I do.
It is. Everything about her is like what she shows. It's just genuine. And I really have a big thing. Like, I hate like super curated influencers and stuff, but I feel like if you curate it for a purpose, not to make yourself look good, but if you curate it for a purpose, if you curate your content to make sure your audience knows what they're getting out of it, that's fine. But if you curate it to like fake everything about you, fuck that. Do you know what I mean?
And she's one of those people, it's like, oh, I follow you online, but like, I feel like if I saw her in an elevator, she'd be the exact same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She literally looks like a walking filter.
Really?
Yeah, she has such good skin. Like, she looks great in real. She literally looks exactly the same.
By the way, I feel like we should address, did we address that our mutual friend, I guess now, Lainey, like how we both know her? Did we say that? I don't think we said
that. Yeah, you did. You said full circle. I used to work for Lainey.
Okay.
Yeah, we addressed. Yeah.
So yeah, if we didn't, I want to make that clear because people are probably like, who the heck is Lainey?
Oh yeah. Did you talk about it on your podcast? You say the first person I started working for is this.
No, I never. So I should start a podcast with her.
Oh my gosh. Let the podcast audience know.
Yeah. Okay. So when I first moved to LA, it was a week after I turned 18.
Wow.
And I moved here to go to FITM.
From where?
From Indiana.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, so small town, and I'm from the Midwest. And so I moved here and I had just started, and I was with a friend at FITM, and we went to this event to help out this blogger chick that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know.
How did you find out about her needing help?
Because I was helping out at this event, and I think my friend at the time, I don't know if she was helping her, if she like found it through a friend or whatever, but she was like, Taylor, come to this event and like help me out and we'll just like go. And it was like honestly my first probably event, and it was Lainey's, I think, 3-year like blog anniversary or something.
Okay.
And it was all like rainbow and kind of like unicorn and like cute Instagrammy, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is epic, because like it was my first ever, like now that I like have been in LA a while, it's like every event is like Instagrammy and cute and like curated.
And also now Instagram is all like grainy and like weird, like unrainbow stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
but Lainey, I remember, because I'm so like vibrant and I love color and stuff, so I was like, oh my gosh, this girl's so cool.
Yeah.
So I think I went up to her. She can correct this when we hopefully record a podcast one day. I think we were like, I had met her and I was helping out, and I don't know if it was like at the beginning or at the end of the event or something, but I mentioned, I was like, hey, if you ever need help, I would love to like intern for you, or like, you know, at any point if you need help or just like an extra helping hand, please let me know.
Which, by the way, if you're looking to get a job, that's the way to do it, my friend. Let me just tell you. Okay.
It was also probably helped in my case that I was already helping her just like for free, like just, you know, grinding or whatever, helping make the event as awesome as it was. And I remember I like posted on Instagram. I literally could probably find it, which is so funny. I remember she was like so nice and so like wanting to help me and like help me learn and stuff and just like take me in, which is like, I feel like as, I don't know, someone who's been in the industry, like if you're older and you know what you're doing, like help someone out. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, had she not helped me, like I probably wouldn't be where I am today. You know what I mean?
That is the same for every influencer that you see online.
You just gotta extend, if you see someone that you see either potential in or like someone that's like you, or like,
it's a collaborative industry.
I feel like it's your duty to help someone out. And like, she was so helpful. And like, I don't know, she like taught me so much. And like, the fact that like I had literally no experience with anything and she took me in was just like so nice. And like, I could add her to my resume, like worked for like Blogger, the fashion lane. Like, you know what I mean? Like, was so like lit and cool and awesome for me.
And by the way, she's still that way today. Like, that's how we became friends, because I'm so, you know, when I was an artist, as I said, it's such a lonely industry, that what I loved about digital stuff is that it's very collaborative for the most part.
It's like everyone, well, there are bloggers that are awesome, there are bloggers that aren't, but like it's dope when someone's like, oh no, girl, like even I walked in today, you're like, oh no, you need this equipment, like blah blah blah, I'll send you the link, like blah blah blah, like,
that's the beauty of the industry.
Yeah,
it's the beauty of the industry, and that's how, like, me and Lainey connected.
You do that for me and it's like, oh my god, the second you need like one of my friends as a guest or something, like I'm happy to do that for you.
It's a collaborative massive industry, and most people don't understand it. And like, it, you know, Lainey really understands that. That's how we became friends. She was like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to vlog. And I was like a video producer at Hollywood at the time. So I was like, well, you know, this is how you should do it. Like, hold the camera like this, like do this. And like, we kind of fed off of each other, and then we just became instant friends.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah.
But I remember I didn't have a car here yet, and I was just like a student, so like basically I had no money, and I would just like save up my money to like Uber to like my to intern.
That's dedicated. So that cute. Is very admirable, by the way. Like, do you understand? Like, I
would like Uber from downtown to Beverly Hills and just like take photos, and I was so happy.
Yeah, but people in LA, like, people don't do that shit anymore. People just expect things to be handed to them.
Oh, and this is it. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, you found it.
Yeah, Fashion Lane turns 3.
You need to send me this into my DM so I can send it to her, and I'm going to share it on my stories. Like, we have to.
She's going
to
die. She's going to die.
So she is the first person you worked with in LA.
Yeah.
That is
like,
crazy.
Like, she legit is the, she's the one that like really showed me that like bloggers could make a living off of vlogging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I, like, how cool is this background? Yeah.
It's like literally, and
I literally said,
and then I became a fan of your podcast and your polls, and like, and then, and she was like, you do realize that this girl like worked with me? And I was like, I'm a huge fan of her polls. And she was like, did you go through like the DMs to book her and stuff? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, why didn't you just ask me? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I didn't realize you were that cool, so Lainey. Funny.
She literally, like, this is my caption on my photo that I posted at her event. I said, happy third birthday to my favorite fashion blog at I Am Fashion Lane, with like all these like crazy emojis.
That's so cute.
Hashtag Fashion Lane turns 3. Hashtag drink 50. And I tagged all the brands that were like sponsoring them. Like, I'm dead. I literally thought I was so like influential. Wow, Taylor. I'm sure everyone clicked on those tags.
That's literally my favorite thing you've probably ever done. Better than the polls. Like, you reading out your old caption, like tagging all the brands.
My favorite fashion blogger met her that day. Like, relax, Taylor. Me trying to flex on Instagram to my Indiana friends.
I'm yikes. Crying. Aren't we all, though? I mean, flexing on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Story of my life. Hello, thirsty bitch here. But yeah, especially since my algorithm fucked me over. Like, yeah. God, help me, people. But yeah, no, hilarious.
Okay, so yeah, now that we told that story, and obviously, like, you guys are best friends, so now we just realize that we have so many mutual connections.
We
it's
have
so cool.
to all go out, by the way.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Let's go get a dinner and a drink, or dinner and a drink, or whatever. Okay, so let's talk about the polls,
please.
You vote in the polls
all the fucking time. It's like a day. I go, I see your story, and I'm like, is she gonna have any good polls today?
What are your
I
can favorite like? Kind of polls to vote in?
I like the like lifestyle ones, like, you know, when you ask about like, would you rather do this or that, or like watch that. Honestly, I don't even remember. Like, I just, they're kind of addictive. Like, I don't know how to explain. And it's nice to see like that people like relate with you. And I don't know. It's like weird.
Isn't it weird seeing like when you're not in the majority? You're like, wait,
yeah,
what?
I feel like a failure in life. I'm like, I'm like, what are you doing, Deanna?
So funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I have a surprise for you.
What?
Elaine's on her way.
Shut up.
Yeah.
She's coming here? Did you tell her just now?
Like, no, I told her an hour ago. Are you dying?
Oh my God, I'm so excited to see her. She's going to be like, what the hell?
This podcast is going in like 10,000 directions. I'm so sorry. Because I'm editing.
She like, oh my God.
She's like,
so
like,
what'd she say? How did the set get set up? Was she like, oh my God, let me come?
She's like, she was like, I want to see you because I just got back from Miami. And I was like, well, I'm going to be with Taylor. And she's like, oh, do you mind? I was like, no, come.
Oh my God,
and
I
wasn't sure she was going to come. And she's like, how's the podcast? I was like, amazing. She's like, on my way.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
How good.
She's probably like, what if I like came here and I was like, so weird. She's like, yeah, she actually didn't work for me. You're like, yeah, like you're weird too.
No, but she literally was like, I cannot believe that you're collaborating with this person.
I'm so dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but like polls. Okay. Addicting. What did I vote? I don't even remember what they are. I just vote all the time, which is like,
I love.
So fucked up.
No, I feel like when you're in the habit and you like see the red background, it's just like habit.
It's just like a natural like impulse.
It's like you're not thinking about it. You're just like voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vote or die.
Yeah.
Okay. So first thing we came up with, which I love because you're so pop culture oriented and you're like so up to date, because I feel like I'm up to date, but I feel like you're way more up to date than I am.
No, like not so much anymore.
Okay. Well, maybe we can help each other out.
Yeah. When I was on YouTube, I was like on top of shit. And now that I'm more podcast once a week, I'm like, I'll see what I can talk about. Yeah.
Okay. I put... because you told me to. Haley versus Selena. So tell me like your thought process behind this.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So here's the thing. Like, okay, like Selena's a beautiful human and like whatever and la la la. But like style icon, Hailey Bieber, hello. And so basically I'm obsessed with Hailey Bieber because I was always the person, like I wear PJs all the time, like big jump, like big sweaters and like... I'm just kind of tomboyish, I guess, with my fashion, yeah. Despite like, being very girly.
Thank God for paving the way for sweatpants.
I'm like, literally, thank God for making like the tramp look a thing, because otherwise I would still be a social outcast. So I am obsessed with her. And then, okay, I know like I shouldn't be saying this on a podcast because I need to be like likable and relatable. But then people started saying that sometimes I kind of look like her from far because I do the top.
Oh my God, I can see that.
But no, like obviously we don't have like the same face and the same body type.
I can see it with like the brown eyes. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. We kind of have the same.
Also,
like,
you both have a really like narrow face.
Narrow face with like the long neck. Yeah. And like obviously I have a huge cellulite-y butt and like not the same legs as her. And like I don't have these like luscious lips or whatever, you know, the whole thing. But we do. We have a similar vibe.
Oh my God, I so see that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and everyone voted Selena on your thing. So I'm like, fuck you guys. Love the voters. But yeah, so to me, I'm dying to know because Selena's such a lovely, gorgeous human. But like, Hailey Bieber.
So were you just saying this in general, like Hailey versus Selena? Or were you thinking like for Justin? Like what were you thinking?
Well, did you hear the current... Well, first of all, Selena's new song is about Justin.
Yeah.
And then there was this whole thing because Hailey posted the story. The story. And so everyone was like, fuck you. And like this whole thing. And I was just curious to know like where people stand. Because for me, I follow Hailey because I love her style. I just kind of think Selena's style is kind of boring. But obviously like, you know... I'm sure Selena has a lot more depth as a character because she's obviously been through a lot of shit. Uh-huh. So I, this is just my assumption.
So, oh God, this is so hard for me to like even vote on.
What did you vote? Did you vote?
I didn't vote. And I'm thinking now, like, what would I honestly vote?
I just think...
I feel like right this second, I would vote Selena just because I'm like living for the new music.
It's amazing.
Like, and like, I'm so here for just like her, like not even a comeback because she's always been here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, she also is just like, I agree with like the depth and like how much she's grown. And like, I feel like everyone can relate to like a horrible like first love breakup, blah, 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 yeah. blah. So I'm living for that. But I also live for like one Hailey and Justin. I think they're a better match.
Yeah.
And then I also,
they're better for each other for sure.
I'd probably keep up to date more with Hailey and like her style and like just her everyday stuff more than I do Selena. So I'm probably more of an everyday fan of Hailey, but I live
deep
for
down,
Selena too.
Yeah. So I'm kind of the same. Like I love like, Hailey's style.
How can you not like either of them? You know what I mean?
But that's why they end up dating the one guy that every girl is obsessed with. Yeah, I think that they're just both creme de la creme. Like, I think that Hailey's just like this, like happy, lovely, kind,
I
like
think
beautiful,
they're both freaking awesome.
Yeah, and Selena's just this like gorgeous, beautiful, like has so much history, so much depth, so much to talk about. Like, human,
also, such an amazing like boss. Creative.
Yeah.
I mean, like the amount of, like, she was so involved in 13 Reasons Why. She's like an executive producer.
Best show on Netflix.
Yeah.
By the
way. Like literally produces like so many shows and like
that are impactful
and like just so many things.
Yeah. And she's so impactful. Talented. It's not just like random shit. It's like things that people are like, talking about and like engaging conversation and stuff. Like, she's amazing. They're both great.
Live for them both.
Yeah.
Well, 73% said Selena. But I mean, rightfully so, because like all the music and all the new, like the comeback and all that.
Selena does have, like, from what we've seen, more depth than Hailey. Love the style, but you know, I can't blame them.
She just has like a bigger global like
presence.
Following and presence. Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, but yeah, isn't that kind of crazy? 73%.
I thought it was going to be a tie, to be honest. So I'm very surprised by this.
Best way to get a hold of someone when you want to collab/work with them.
I'm so glad that we were talking about this, because for me, every single guest I have booked besides maybe one of two or two, has always been through DM.
Really?
Same. My Instagram is the one tool that I use for booking.
Yeah.
It's my booking tool.
Same. So how do you slide into people's DMs? Like, okay, if you're going to give me advice on how to book Lauren, like the Skinny Confidential for my podcast.
I'm the worst person.
How would I do it?
So the way that I've been doing with all the people is just saying, hey, I'd love to have you on the podcast. What's the best way to set it up? Is there someone I can reach out to?
So you like just very slide short, right in. Yeah.
Slide short to the point. No one is going to read a long ass DM. Yeah. I feel like on Instagram it's very quick and to the point. For Lauren, I think like her Instagram is such a big part of her business that I don't know if I would reach out to her on this because it's like, it's also her tool for business. Mm-hmm. It's different than like an actor where like that's their one way of like communicating with their audience. Lauren has like all these platforms that she's managing. So for her, I would definitely do email.
Really?
Yeah. Because her Instagram is like a whole, it's managed, it's hers, but there's a lot of people that contribute to like what goes on with her Instagram. And she's very like specific about how much time she spends on her DMs and stuff. And I would email.
Email. Gotcha.
Because it's always there. The DMs is kind of, you get lost with the DMs.
So you think based on the person, it's either email or DM?
You have to look at the person. I feel like if it's an actor, like a Netflix person, which I book a lot of and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Just through DMs?
DM. Oh, a lot of the Netflix people I book through DM because Netflix actors are actors. They're not creators. So they have, Instagram is the one way that they communicate with their audience.
Got it.
So when you DM them, they like go through and they read and they want to like interact and communicate. Mm-hmm. With creators, it's a bit more difficult because people are on many platforms and their head is like everywhere.
So and people are DMing them like literally all the time.
Literally all the time. So I would just probably do email for creators.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
50-50.
Crazy to me.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. What would you do? How do you do to book
and
your...
And 10,000 people have voted so far. And literally it's 50-50.
Crazy.
I'm all about the DMs. It goes down in the DMs. I mean, you got me. Like, I'm a prime example.
I've been trying to get you on email for a while, by the way. And I got you through DM.
I know. And then the second you... And like, I know. Like, I see the email. I'm just like... I'll get to it. Like, you know what I mean? But DM, I'm like, oh, I immediately respond.
This is the thing with emails. This is my theory. There's so many fucking email, like, subscribe things. What do you call this?
It almost felt like, even though it wasn't now knowing you, but it almost feels like...
factory made, like, bye. Like,
yes,
no thought into
very,
it.
Like,
impersonal.
Not personal. Yes.
Yeah.
Or, like, almost like, oh, it's just, like, another bot. Or, like, oh, it's, like, I don't put a face to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's what I mean with Instagram. Like a lot of people are like all these LA
it's
girls.
It's easier to say no via email.
100%.
But like for DM, I know that if I read it, like it's going to be seen. And like also it's like, oh, I see your face. Like,
it's
oh, you're dope.
It's social media. It's like you meet someone.
Literally, like I immediately like went to your profile. And I was like, oh, she's dope. Like, hell yeah, I'll be on your podcast. Or like, oh, actually I want to, I even said, I think you were like, oh, you want to be on my podcast? And I was like, oh no, let's do a swap.
Yeah, oh, thanks.
You know what I mean?
But that's the thing with email. There's no profile. There's no face. So like, you could, with the email, the only thing you can do is list your achievement and your achievements and name drop.
I think that's why I don't like drop everything and like email someone back. Also, to me, I'm like, oh my God, it takes so much effort and time to like, even though it doesn't, to like write a whole email and be formal, blah, blah, blah. Whereas DM, I'm like, yo, I'm so down. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
And then once you've it's agreed on the DM, then you move over to email.
It goes down in the DM.
Literally.
Yeah. I love actually the way you handled that. Like, hey, can I shoot you an email? And then I was like, yeah, actually just text me. And then it's like, bam.
Thanks.
So yeah, 50.
So
50.
That's how you do as well. Always DM. You DM your guests.
Literally, it's either DM or unless I have their number. Actually, even sometimes if I have their number, I still slide into DMs.
Yeah.
And then...
I feel like number, if I'm not friends with them, I feel awkward sometimes texting people.
Yeah, DM is the best way ever. That's how I get everyone.
Yeah.
And also in person, like a lot of the times people are like, oh my God, I live for your polls. Or they'll be like, oh, I listened to this podcast. And I'll be like, oh, you would actually be so good on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then people will be like, wait, really? Like, and I would love to be on it. And I'll be like, oh my God, perfect. You know what I mean? So that's like a mutual agreement instead of me like making someone feel awkward and going up to me and like, would you be on my podcast? Like, I feel like we're mutually like,
when there's a connection
something.
That's being built, and whether it's like looking at someone's profile that you enjoy or just having a moment where you both interacted, like that's the best way to book someone. Also, just to provide a bit of value on this podcast, because hello, we're Skinny Confidential fans.
Yes.
I have a little tip if you are or anyone else is trying to book people on their podcast, because I started booking like big Netflix people when my podcast is like no listeners. If it's like a big actor or someone, always look for their management and then find their management or PR person and then DM them on Instagram.
DM them
the PR.
Okay, the PR.
On Instagram. because that's their job to just say yes. And so your thing won't get lost. And like, they're usually super nice when you DM them over Instagram. Also, other thing, never think that you're above anyone when you're I don't know how to explain, not you, I mean, for the listeners, if they're trying to like start a podcast, because I will encourage people to start a podcast if they have something to say. But yeah, like I will have like big celebrity reality TV people on my podcast. And sometimes I will have people like Just Uniform who are like micro influencers, because everyone just has something to bring to the table. It depends like if they're good for your audience or not. But I love that you were just like, yeah, cool. Like people just should want to collaborate. It's a collaborative industry.
Also, you're a good interviewer. You're a good interviewer and the guest doesn't really matter. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. Your podcast is how it's your message through someone else's.
Like, I agree interview. That like a guest can be like pivotal. You know what I mean? Like it could get you the most listens and the most views and whatever. But if you don't ask them good questions,
one's going to subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you can have a great guest. You'll get, 100,000 spins on your episode. But if you're not a great interview, you won't like capture that audience.
I was even talking to Alicia today about how, sometimes I'm like, I was talking about like getting guests for my podcast, right?
Yeah.
And she was saying, she was like, you know what, Taylor, like you should make it a challenge for yourself whenever you like find someone that's maybe not big, like that big, or not bringing a lot of like numbers to you, right? And like maybe they're smaller than you or whatever, right? Because I'm small. So like maybe they're not someone that's huge, right? You need to make it a challenge to like make it the most interesting interview, like, of life, so that because if you can do that with like someone that may not seem interesting or may not have the numbers or whatever with that person, then imagine like what you can do with someone with like crazy numbers or like crazy personality, or you know what I mean?
100% agree with that. And I also have the numbers to prove that theory, where like one time I got this guest who was not a big influential person at all, who was just like someone who was included in a certain group of people, like from a show that a lot of people like to hear about on my podcast.
Yeah.
And this episode to this day is the one with my most spins because of how I titled it, because of the little snippet I got from my socials that she shared, that whatever. It was just the funniest episode I've recorded. And it was not at all someone who was like numbers on social media.
Yeah, exactly. Will Justin Bieber release his album before Christmas?
Okay, so I actually had I looked at it and he's still missing 13 million likes on his photo.
13 million?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait, was it 13? I can't remember. There's a couple.
He just needed 20 million.
He just needed
20 million.
Yeah, but with the algorithm and stuff, things not that easy anymore. I think he's missing a bunch of millions of likes.
Actually, I can't remember right now.
Yeah, if you go, I think it's on Cosmo. No, on Perez Hilton. Perez Hilton.
He has it right here. Oh, okay. So he's at 9,387,000.
Yeah, he's missing a bunch.
So he still has basically 10 million to go.
But there's no time limit on this. So who knows how many likes that post will get. I think that if he's talking about it on social, there's probably a high chance that he will.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's just hyping it up. Yeah.
He, 62% said yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think Justin Bieber would ever perform at Coachella?
Of course. Do you?
I actually think so. A lot of people don't think he would. I think he would.
I think he would.
I think it's like an honor. I think honestly Coachella now is like almost as big as the Super Bowl. Like bigger than the Super Bowl.
No, 100%.
Yeah, it's like an honor.
I think if an artist said I performed at Coachella, that's it.
It's an honor. Yeah, you're it.
You're it.
67% said yes. Podcast or red carpet interview?
100% podcast now.
Yeah, I agree. 73% said yes. 27% still said red carpet interview.
But do you know what I mean? Bye, red carpet.
Bye. Boy, bye. YouTube/IGTV videos or TV?
I feel like everyone is like YouTube IGTV.
What about you?
YouTube IGTV all the way.
Same. 81% said YouTube.
Are you joking?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Poor actors.
And actual TV hosts.
Yeah. Okay. Digital media or traditional media?
100% digital.
Yeah. 87% said digital.
I'm surprised that it wasn't more, to be honest.
Almost 90. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would Miley Cyrus ever perform at Coachella?
I feel like she wants to.
I would live if she did it this year, especially because think about all of her new music that's coming out, and she could literally start with like a Hannah Montana song and then move and like do like Miley Cyrus. And then
there's
so
many different eras that she could put on the best fucking show.
And then she could like put on some Wrecking Ball, like, you know.
Okay, here's my thoughts. Mm-hmm. If Miley Cyrus ever performs at Coachella and doesn't actually like have a fucking Wrecking Ball, like the music video,
No, I know.
I will lose all faith in Miley Cyrus.
Party in the USA.
No,
banger.
But, yeah. No, no. But I mean the actual wrecking ball. Like that. No, yeah,
she needs
ball,
to be on it.
No. If she doesn't swing through a fucking wrecking ball in tiny underwear at Coachella when she does perform at Coachella, I'm unfollowing Miley Cyrus on Instagram.
And then she could go like all the way up, like the climb. Imagine that at Coachella. Ugh. I would die. Okay.
This would be the best.
And
end
then she
of
could
Coachella
do
song.
Like, yeah, all just everything. 83% said yes, they think she would. How many different podcast shows are
Wait,
you listening
before
to?
Before that question, I have a question for you based on the Kay. Polls. Who out of all these people would you want to see perform at Coachella the most? Because I feel like you posted these questions for a reason. So I want to get to the bottom. Ha ha. And it's not even
honestly,
my podcast.
Probably Miley.
100% Miley.
Probably Miley. I'm such a Miley stan. And she could even do Ashley O's song. You know, the on a roll, like the purple wig one. You know,
oh,
when
yeah,
she was
yeah,
on Black
yeah,
Mirror?
Ashley, yeah, yeah. Black Mirror. Yeah, yeah. Like, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everything Miley. I feel like she'd be the most entertaining for Coachella because she can put on so many different looks and personas and things. And she's just the best person for
also,
Coachella.
You know, she would bring out like Billy Ray and Lil Nas X. So we'd have a little Old Town Road moment.
That would be fucking epic.
Also, she'd bring out Noah Cyrus.
Yeah. And
her
probably
sister.
Ariana Grande because sometimes they perform
probably,
together.
I feel like she would do like a whole like boss, like girl power moment.
She
too.
Would bring out all these different.
Everyone.
She
She's
would
friends
make
with everyone.
It specific to Coachella. Whereas like, I feel like Justin Bieber would be amazing live, but he would just do his normal set and then
I
he'd leave.
I feel like he would almost be better at his own concert and not at a festival.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like DJs and stuff like thrive at festivals.
100%.
So yeah. Okay, and then last
the
question.
The most important one, yep. The bitchiest one.
How many different podcast shows are you listening to a week? 1 to 3 or 4+?
So I religiously 1 to 3. I have 4+ that I'm subscribed to, but I don't listen to all of them. But also it's because I spend so much time creating that I don't have time. You know, if I had a 9-to-5 job on my commute or on the weekends, I would listen to all these other podcasts. But because I'm creating, I don't have that much time.
Got it.
What about you?
This is tough.
How many do you listen to, actually?
I listen to podcasts all the time.
But like, regularly, how many?
How many different
like
ones?
Like, religiously, yeah.
Hold on, let me go to it.
I want to know your podcast. I didn't even ask you when you asked me the questions.
Okay, shows. Let's see. I listen to Armchair Expert a lot.
Okay.
See, I'm one of those people that, like, when I go to Starbucks, like, I get something different every time.
Yeah.
When I go to Subway, I get something different every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when I go to my podcast app, I get something different every time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm like you. I'm kind of not super loyal to Skinny.
I'm only loyal to the Skinny Confidential and my friends.
Same.
And like Armchair Expert. I'm very loyal to him. That's Dax Shepherd's.
Okay.
I'm loyal to, sometimes if I'm like feeling raunchy, I listen to Call Her Daddy. Have you heard that?
No.
They're very raunchy, but it's like so funny.
Oh, sometimes I listen to Girls Gotta Eat. That's a good one,
yes,
too.
Yes, I love that one,
it's
too.
It's a good one, yeah.
I used to listen to Casey Neistat a lot, but he doesn't really post anymore, which is couples therapy. I love Josh Peck's, which is Curious with Josh Peck.
Oh my gosh, so many different ones to me.
Ed Milet's is really good. He's been on The Skinny Confidential.
Oh, yeah. So they talk about him a lot. I haven't heard
his
stuff.
Yeah, he's really good. He's very, like, business...
Right.
Driven.
Probably something I should listen to more.
Yeah. He has like a really good heart too.
Yeah.
Gals on the Go, I listen to. They're my friends. So I feel like I'm obligated. I'm just like catching up with them when I listen.
Yeah.
Girls Gotta Eat. I love How I Built This.
Oh, I also had this one. I was going to mention it as well. How I Built This is good.
Lately, I've been kind of listening to Oprah's Super Soul.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Today, I listened to Pardon My Take, which is a sports podcast.
No
but,
way.
Yeah. I try to dabble so I can like get more
You're
inspo.
You're really a podcast fan.
Yeah. I love Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Have you been on this podcast? Yeah.
You have? Oh my God. I live for Tanya Rad.
Can
I'm
you put her in contact?
Obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so obsessed with her.
Yeah. It's a
and
good podcast.
Gary Vee. I love him.
I used to love him. I'm not so much into him anymore.
Ah, I love him.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan sometimes. Did you listen to the podcast of him and Elon Musk when they got high on the podcast?
No.
It's very funny.
Oh my gosh. See, I don't listen to as many as you.
The Morning Toast. Sometimes I listen to them.
Okay. I used to listen to them as well.
They're funny. Yeah. I just think they're really funny. Oh, Views by David Dobrik and Jason Ash. Do you know what that one is?
I've seen it on Apple Podcasts,
so
but I haven't listened to
it. Lately, I've been listening to the Zach Sang Show a lot.
Oh, I love Zach Sang. Chang.
He's the best.
So I watch his YouTube videos.
I literally want to interview him so bad.
He's so good. He's so good at doing a pop culture interview without being controversial, but just being good.
Chill. And like, chill. It feels like he's just like your best friend.
Yeah.
I want to interview him so bad.
You should. Reach out to him. DM him.
I should. And we met at Acme. I love.
I used to listen to that as well. See, I'm not loyal. So
she was on, I actually had her on my podcast too. Because I was so obsessed with her. I was like, please be on mine. So yeah, those are the top ones I listen to, I'd say.
Wow, that's a lot. You must be driving a lot.
Yeah, I am. I'm driving a lot. And honestly, anytime like I'm by myself and listening to a podcast. Like,
do you not listen to music in your own time now?
Not really.
Yeah, same. I feel like I used to a lot more. And now the charts fucking suck. Number one. Number two, podcasts are just better.
Yeah.
Like I feel like.
Well, I just feel like I want to like learn. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel
at least
I'm
be
smarter.
Entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you're, you know what? Here's a good life hack for you. If you're dumb, listen to a lot of podcasts and you'll be less dumb.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Life hacks. How to be less dumb. 101. Yeah.
How to like have a conversation when you go to a business meet, like a business event, a networking event. Listen to a bunch of podcasts. You have so much to talk about.
Yeah. Well, did I tell you the result?
No.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay. 76% said 1 to 3.
Do you know what? Can I give you my sassy little bitchy commentary about...
Elaborate,
about,
please.
Yeah, I will elaborate just before we wrap this up. So everyone and their mother and their vagina is starting a podcast.
Yeah.
And like, I'm all for someone like, you know... I'm all for a new business venture. I'm all for like a new adventure, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. But like, please, if you don't have anything to say... Please do not start a podcast, because this poll goes to show people are only going to be very loyal to like their top favorites. And like, yeah, there is room for like niches everywhere. But then if there's too many niches, there's not going to be the like 10 best. I don't know how to say what I'm saying without being the biggest asshole in the world. But what I'm trying to say is that just because you talk a lot does not mean that all your conversations need to be permanently recorded and published onto iTunes.
This is so funny. I feel like there's so many memes that are, it's like 24 to 30 something year olds is like, if you don't have a podcast, like you're irrelevant or something like that.
I literally just saw this meme and I need to read it to you because it's literally exactly how I feel about podcasts now. But do you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is what I have in my late 20s, which means time to start. Tick number one, a family. Tick number two, a podcast. And a podcast is ticked.
Literally.
Like literally people used to like want to have a family by the time they were 25. Now it's like, I'm going to be 25. I'm going to have a podcast.
People
to stop starting podcasts that are about nothing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I'm having a rant about something and I feel really bad because I do want to encourage creators to start podcasts. You know, one of my best friends who started a podcast and her podcast is great, but like, if you don't have anything to talk about, do not start a podcast, for God's sakes. Or if you're gonna like just record your like inside jokes with you and your best friends and that's all you know how to do, like, don't start a podcast. Do you get what I'm saying? Am I the only one thinking this?
No, I understand that like a lot of people, I feel like the whole like, instead of having a baby, everyone just starts a podcast, which is so funny. But honestly, I just like listen to mine and stick to mine. So.
No, but I get what you're saying. But
I know. Everyone's starting one.
Whatever. Everyone is starting a podcast. And you know what? It's great. This can be a community. We can all just be podcasters and that's cool. But please, for God's sakes, if you do start a podcast, think twice. Put a lot of thought, like strategize, like do something.
I know, I do love a podcast that like has
a clear aim, a clear goal.
That has kind of its own niche or its own topic or like something creative.
Exactly, which is like not mine, but whatever. It was like years ago, so at this point, who cares? But like, do you know what I mean? I just think that people will only be loyal, very extremely loyal to their top three or four.
Yeah.
So if you think that you are worthy of like, you know, creating a podcast, which I'm not saying that we think we are that, but I'm just saying like, think twice before you start, because at the end of the day, getting a loyal audience is very difficult. So,
well, and also if you're actually trying to grow and monetize off of it, then probably the best way is to like be unique or be different or like come up with something else. So 100%. That's like actually probably good advice to like, if you're going to start one, great, but like make sure you have your own niche or your own topic or, you know,
make sure you have a voice,
your own creative side or like, you know,
your twist on it. 100%. your spin.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so where can everyone follow you and like gas you up and pimp you out and whatever?
Thank
pimp
you yourself so much. Out. Oh, thank you so much. So you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Espia. Help me sort out my algorithm issues because bitch is thirsty and bitch needs your help. Number two, my podcast is called You Can't Sit With Me. So I do, you know, lifestyle tips and pop culture chats. I chat to all your favorite TV stars or reality TV stars, Netflix stars. And I also get a bunch of influencers and cool people like yourself to chat about the digital era and how to live a meaningful life in Hollywood, which is very difficult. Mm-hmm.
Go listen to our episode on her podcast.
Yes.
And where can everyone subscribe? On Apple, Spotify,
every podcasting platform.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank
sorry
you
we went
so much.
So long.
No, it was amazing. I'm so sorry. I'm such a rambler, but thank
you. No, I love it. I love it. And everyone, be sure to follow me on Instagram at TK's Juicy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.